بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And inshallah ta'ala, today we'll begin with the second half of Juz'a Amma. This is where we left off, and it begins with Surah Al-A'la. So from now on is the second half of Juz'a Amma. And Surah Al-A'la is a Meccan surah. There's no disagreement among that. It is a Meccan surah. And of course it's an early Meccan surah, so it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before his hijrah. And because it's a Meccan surah, it addresses the issue of the Day of Judgment and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the two things that the kuffar have a problem with. And the Qur'an, of course, is relevant da'wah. So what comes in the Meccan surah is like a medicine and a cure to exactly what the problem is at that time. And of course, in the Meccan period, the time is that people don't believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a problem with the tasbih of Allah Azza wa Jal, with the takbir of Allah. And they also don't believe in the Day of Judgment. So you'll find in the Meccan surah that the topic that recurs over and over are always these two, which is the Day of Judgment and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes it includes a third, which is the idea of the Qur'an. And Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about the integrity of the Qur'an. Now, Surah Al-A'la is from among the surah that are referred to as Al-Musabbihat. So in the Qur'an, there are seven surah that are referred to as Al-Musabbihat. And these are surah that begin with the root letters of Seen, Ba, and Ha. And they come in the past tense, in the present tense, in the command, and in the verbal noun, which is the infinitive form. What that means is that there are surah that begin with Sabbaha, surah that begin with Yusabbihu, and there is one surah that begins with Subhanalladhi Asra bi'abdihi, and that is Surah Al-Isra. And then there's the one that begins with the command, and that is Surah Al-A'la, which begins with Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. So you have Sabbaha, which is the past tense, Sabbaha Lillahi Ma Fis Samawati Wa Ma Fil Ard. That is Surah Al-Saf, Surah Al-Hashr, and Surah Al-Hadid. And then you have the present tense, which is يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. These are only two surah, Surah Al-Jumu'ah and Surah Al-Taghabun. And then you have the verbal noun, سُبْحَانَ, which is Surah Al-Isra, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ. And then finally you have the command. So this comes all around in all its forms, and the command is سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. And it comes only once, and it's in Surah Al-A'la. And from among these seven, which are known as Al-Musabbihat, from among these seven, and from among the entire Qur'an, Surah Al-A'la is the most, is one of the most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is found in a hadith that Ali radiallahu anhu narrates, in where he says, كان رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يحب هذه الصورة سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loved this surah. And what proves that he loved this surah is the fact that he used to recite it alongside with Surah Al-Ghashiyah in specific prayers, like Surah Salat Al-Jumu'ah, Salat Al-Eid, Salat Al-Istisqa, the prayer that's for rain. You also find he prays and he reads in Surah in Salat Al-Witr, he'll read Surah Al-A'la along with Surah Al-Ghashiyah. And if we were going to speak about the wisdom behind why he recites these two surah in these specific prayers, then the first thing you notice is that he used to recite them when there is a large gathering of people and when the prayer is allowed. So last time we said about Surah Al-Buruj and Surah Al-Tariq, that the Prophet ﷺ would continuously recite them in Salat Al-Duhr, Salat Al-Asr, and in occasions in Salat Al-Isha. But some of these salawat are secretive. You don't speak out loud. They're silent. Now Surah Al-A'la and Surah Al-Ghashiyah, these two surah, the Prophet ﷺ would recite them in prayers that firstly they are loud, and secondly there's a large gathering of people. And it's true, Salat al-Jum'ah is a large gathering of people. Salat al-Eid is a huge gathering of people, more than Jum'ah. Then you have Salat al-Istisqa, which is once a blue moon it comes, whenever it's necessary. Then there's a large gathering that comes to this. And Salat al-Witr, you can think of Salat al-Witr probably in Ramadan and the time that people pray it. There's a large congregation and there's a large audience that attends this type of prayer. So this is the first thing you realize. He recites them in salat that are loud and where there's a lot of people. And why so? Because these surah, they carry great reminders. There's a reminder of the Day of Judgment in these surah, as we'll come to explore. There's a reminder, there's a lot of warnings in this surah. And the Prophet ﷺ would take the opportunity when the people gathered to remind them of these great reminders. So in other words, these two surah are basically a summary of all the reminders that you can find in the Qur'an. And they're put in these two surah. And the best opportunity to remind the people of this is to find a place where they're all gathered. And this happens in Jum'ah, happens in Eid, in Istisqa, and in Witr. So this is why the Prophet ﷺ would recite them. And one of the greatest matters that is ever spoken of in this surah is the matter of tasbih, which is how the surah begins, سَبِّحْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, which is declaring the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's going to take a bit of time to explain what سَبِّحْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى means. Now, interestingly enough, you find that the beginning of this surah is what is said in the end of the salat, or in the end of every rak'ah. So the beginning of a rak'ah is by reciting Surah Al-Fatiha and a Surah. So if we were to take Salat Al-Jum'ah for example, you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, then you recite Surah Al-A'la. At the end of that rak'ah, which is now you're in sujood, what do you say? Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la. And what is amazing is that the prayer itself has two sides now. This action of yours has two sides. And that is qawlun wa fi'l. So you recited the command, you said سَبِّحْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, which means it's a command saying declare the perfection of your Lord the Most High, and then you said it, and then you did it. There's an action at the end, in where when you go into sujood, you obey that command you said, and now you say سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. And of course we know that the closest you can be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is where? When you're in sujood, right? Maybe you can, for example, when I speak to you about the distance between you and the sky, is it uncalculated distance between you and the sky? But the distance between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as easy as making wudu and getting into sujood. This is the distance between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the closest you can be to Allah in the salat is when you are in sujood. Now you know what this proves? It proves that this ayah, سَبِّحْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, is the only and the most powerful ayah that will bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you're in sujood, what do you say? You say سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. So it proves that this ayah is the ayah that will bring you ever closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stick to this ayah, abide by the commands of this ayah, and this is the only way you're going to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the most complete and the most perfect tasbih you can ever do to Allah is that you're in sujood. Why? Because your body is making tasbih. That is, when you're in sujood, that position you're in, your body is making tasbih, and also your tongue is making tasbih when you say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Nothing could be more greater than sujood when you come and speak about the declaration or declaring Allah Azza wa Jal's perfectness. And this is سَبِّحْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Now, to connect the previous surah with the beginning of this surah, in the previous surah, Surah Al-Tariq, we found that the last ayah was فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. And that was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He commanded him, he told him, give these kuffar a bit more time. Let him go, give them a bit of a while. Forget them now, turn away and leave them. And this indicates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was concerned about the planning and the activities of the disbelievers. Which is why Allah tells him, let it go, leave them. Because he was concerned. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam's attention in a different direction. If you are not to worry about them, is what Allah is telling him, don't worry about them, leave them for a while, then the question is, what should he be worried? Or what should he do now since he's waiting? Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, and he commands him again, you wait, and as you're waiting, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. This is the connection. So there was a command, wait, leave them, and now this surah begins with another command, as you're waiting, or since you're waiting, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Focus in this time on tasbih. And so it's been a command, it has been a command to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to declare the perfection of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. Now, another beautiful contrast you find between the two surah is that in Surah Al-Tariq, part of the style of the surah was that Allah Azza wa Jal omitted His name. Right? We discovered this. And we found that Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Tariq never mentioned His name. His name was omitted because He didn't want to put His name next to the arrogant kuffar. So, for example, you see, خُلِقَ مِن مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ. Allah said, He said that man was created from gushing fluid. He didn't say that Allah created man from gushing fluid. That wasn't heard. Similarly, Allah says, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. The day in which secrets will become exposed. He didn't say, on the day where Allah will expose the secrets. He kept His name a secret. He kept it hidden. You find innahu ala raj'ihi laqadir, when Allah Azza wa Jal says, verily, He has the ability to return him. In other words, you go as a sperm into the woman and you come out alive. You went in dead, you come out alive, and you go into the earth dead and you come out alive. But Allah said, innahu, He is able to return you. Allah didn't say, inna Allah ala raj'ihi, that Allah is able to return you. He omitted His name. And the final one we see in the surah, when He said, وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا, and I'm planning a plan. He didn't say, وَيَكِيدُ اللَّهُ كَيْدًا, and Allah is planning a plan. So the bottom line, or the style of this surah, Surah Al-Tariq, is that Allah Azza wa Jal omitted His name. Now, how do we understand this beautiful contrast between Surah Al-Tariq and Al-A'la? In Surah Al-Tariq, we said in its entirety, Allah's name is omitted. In this surah, Surah Al-A'la, He begins with His name. سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. There's two names of Allah in this ayah, Rabb, and then there's the name of Allah, Al-A'la. So it's almost as if He is filling the void that was in Surah Al-Tariq. In Surah Al-Tariq, there's no name of Allah, no mention of the name of Allah. So now in this surah, it is as if it's filling in that void. So Allah mentions and begins it with two names of His, Rabbik and Al-A'la. Now some of the scholars like Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah in his tafsir Ziyad al-Masir, he says that سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى means say Subhana رَبِّي الْأَعْلَى. And then this has been narrated from Ali radiallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that they would say سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى after listening or reading سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. So you say سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, they would say after سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَى, and move on. Even they were asked by some of the Sahaba, أَتَزِيدُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. One came to Ali رضي الله عنه and he said, Ya Ali, are you increasing in the Qur'an? He says, no, but I am abiding by this command. Because it's a command that is saying, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. So I'm responding to this command and saying, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. And this is why sometimes you find in Ramadan, I don't know if you've experienced this, or in Jumu'ah, that if the imam was to be aware of this, you'll find that when they pray and they recite and begin Surah Al-A'la, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى, then there'll be a small pause in where he's saying سبحان ربي الأعلى, and then he continues reciting the surah, and this is no issue if you are to do this. طيب, now, and actually the proof for this, why do we say سبحان ربي الأعلى straight after the word or the ayah سبح اسم ربك الأعلى? This is actually proven in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in when this ayah was revealed to the messenger, when this ayah came down, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ordered his companions, اِجْعَلُوهَا فِي سُجُودِكُمْ, put this in your sujood. And when the ayah was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ, he told his companions, اِجْعَلُوهَا فِي رُكُوعِكُمْ, put this in your ruku'. So if you were ever to ask, where did سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ, or سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ, come from, then we say it came from this hadith. When this ayah was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ said, put this in your sujood. And the other one, which is in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ, he said, اِجْعَلُوهَا فِي رُكُوعِكُمْ, put it in your ruku'. Now what I want to do is I want to, share with you the wisdom. Why do we say سبحان ربي العظيم in the ركوع, and why we say سبحان ربي الأعلى in سجود? This is really, really beautiful. It's something magnificent. Something I was reading on recently, which made a lot of sense. So inshallah ta'ala, I will share it with you. So in الركوع, we say سبحان ربي العظيم. This is what we say. All right. سبح, it is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comes from the infinitive form tasbih. That's where it comes from. And tasbih, what actually that means, is to declare the perfection of Allah by disassociating from Him any defect or any imperfection. So when you hear something inappropriate about Allah, you say subhanallah. If you hear any imperfection or defect about Allah Azza wa Jal, you say subhanallah. For example, what's something inappropriate to hear about Allah? As the mushrikun say, اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, that Allah Azza wa Jal has begotten a son. Now this is inappropriate towards Allah. So when you hear it, you say subhanallah. When you say subhanallah, what actually you are saying is that Allah Azza wa Jal is above and beyond all perfection. This is what you're saying when you say subhanallah. And this is, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, He said, سُبْحَانَ, سُبْحَانَ. So like if someone was to say Allah has a son, for example, you don't say Allahu Akbar or Alhamdulillah. The most befitting thing to say is SubhanAllah. Because when you say SubhanAllah, then it means you are declaring the perfection of Allah. And above all this, you are disassociating from Allah what is imperfection and what is as a defect. So if someone says Allah sleeps, for example, you say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah would mean that you are disassociating Allah from this defect or from this imperfection. Now tasbih, it comes from the word sabaha or sibaha, which actually means to swim. It means to swim. And this particular word, there's a lot of words in the Arabic language that are referring to swimming. But this particular word, it refers to a type of swimming where you don't go under the water. Rather, you maintain your level. It's like you're floating. Sabaha, sibaha, it means to float. Swimming and you're floating and you don't go down. So now, what does floating have to do with remembering Allah or declaring Allah's perfection? What does floating have to do with tasbih? You see, when something floats, it retains its level. Doesn't go down and it doesn't go up. Doesn't go down. And it refuses to go down. So when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond any imperfection, we declare this perfect level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we do not say anything about Him that brings that level down. That's the concept of tasbih, and that's how it's related to something that floats. Allah Azza wa Jal, His tasbih is like something that floats. Something that floats doesn't go down. And similarly, the tasbih of Allah Azza wa Jal is to declare this level of perfection for Allah so much so that it never goes down. Now, the wisdom in why we say this in our ruku' and in our sujood. We say in our ruku' Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Now we said Subhan means something which doesn't sink or fall, but it keeps its high position, it floats. It is referring to that the perfection of Allah is something that doesn't drop. This is Subhan. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal, when we say in our ruku' we say Subhana. This an at the end, alif noon at the end, it refers to abundance and a lot, something that's in excess. So in other words, Subhan would mean abundant and loads of perfection. Just for example, if someone was thirsty, we say Achan, we have this alif noon at the end. And when you say alif noon at the end, that means this person, you don't say Achan unless you're extremely thirsty. You understand? Or you don't say Na'san, which means sleepy, unless you're extremely, extremely sleepy. So Subhan would mean extreme, abundant, loads and loads of perfection. Then we say Subhana Rabbi. We say Rabbi. Now that means abundant perfection. Loads and lots of perfection to Rabbi, to my master. Loads of perfection to him. Now the meaning related to ruku' in this is that by bowing to Allah Azza wa Jal, we are standing in a position that is lower than our normal standing position. Which means we are not in a state of Subhan. You understand? When you're in this state, then you are in an imbalanced state, in an imperfect state. And you're saying here, Subhana Rabbi. So what you're acknowledging is that you are imperfect. You are imbalanced. And who's the most perfect one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you by you doing this ruku', you've acknowledged that you're imperfect, right? This is what Subhan means. And you're acknowledging that Allah Azza wa Jal, He's the one that is perfect and is always perfect. And it's abundance for Him and it's loads for Him. Now, this is why we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Subhana Rabbi. Showing that we are humbling ourselves to His perfection. When you do this, then you're in an imperfect shape. So you can acknowledge and humble yourself before Allah Azza wa Jal and acknowledging He is the only one in the perfect position. Then we say, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. We say Al-Azim. Al-Azim here, Al-A'la there. And we'll say why. Al-Azim comes from the word Azam. Azam. And Azam means, what's Azam? A bone. Azam is a bone. But a bone is called Azam because it's strong and it's firm. Azam, because it's bone, it's a strong and firm Azam. So Allah Azza wa Jal is Azim. In other words, He's strong, He's firm and He's powerful. And He said Azim. There's a ya between the va and the meem. And this ya implies consistency. In other words, Azim would be best translated as that He is consistently strong, firm and powerful. This is Azim. And you'll find it also in the word Alim, for example. Alim, what does Alim mean? Alim would mean painful. Alam means painful. But Alim means consistently painful. Now when Allah speaks about the kuffar in Jahannam, He doesn't say, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَذَابُ أَلَمٌ. They will deserve or they will get a painful punishment. He said, عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. A consistent painful punishment. So you know what that teaches you? The pain they feel the first second in the fire is exactly the same pain they feel a million years later. While in this life you have your finger on the fire, initially it's going to burn, but as time goes by, then the pain decreases. So the ya in between that comes just before the last letter, it implies consistency. Something that's continual that will never stop. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Azim. In other words, His power and His strength and his firmness is something that's consistent. And look how this subhanAllah works when you say this in your ruku'. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-azim. Why do we say al-azim in ruku'? Because when you are in ruku', you are in one of the most unstable positions. And so even if a really strong man was in ruku' and a little child was to come by and push him, what happens? You lose stability. You won't be able to keep stable as opposed to you being standing. So when you say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, what you're actually acknowledging is that you are saying that Allah Azza wa Jal, you're admitting your weakness before Allah, and you have been put in a position of weakness that you are not so strong anymore, you're not azim anymore in this position, that even a strong man, if he was pushed, he'd fall off. And you're being put in this position and saying al-azim, in other words, you're declaring, I'm not azim, Allah Azza wa Jal is al-azim. So it comes perfect in where you say it, it comes with the wording and with the action itself. This is Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Now in sujood you say another thing, which is Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. A different word is said, which is al-A'la. And Subhan, of course, we said abundant perfection is for Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-A'la would mean the consistently high. And now SubhanAllah, look at this. When you say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, you say this in your sujood. Al-A'la means the most high. Sujood is when you bring the upper part of your body, the beginning of your body, which is your head, the highest part of your body, you bring it to the most lowest of the earth. So you bring your head down to the earth. And you say there, Rabbi al-A'la, that He is the most high. So now you acknowledge you're in the lowest position, which is a humble position, and from there you acknowledge that He is the highest. It doesn't work that you're in ruku' to say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, because you still haven't lowered yourself. Go down and lower yourself until that's it. You cannot get lower than this. There is nothing lower than sujood. Nothing is lower than sujood. From there, now say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, acknowledge that He is the highest. So before you acknowledge He is the highest, you got to get into the lowest position. So Allahu A'lam, this is how the wisdom behind saying al-Azim in this position. Al-Azim means the strongest, and in this position you're not the strongest you can be. If you're pushed over, you'll fall. So you're acknowledging that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the strongest, and in this position you are the lowest it can be, and you're acknowledging that from the lowest Allah Azza wa Jal is the highest. And there is a very beautiful hadith in where Allah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, ثَلَاثٌ أُقْسِمُ عَلَيْهِنْ مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ وَمَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. That Allah Azza wa Jal, or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that he swears regarding three matters. Wallahi, three matters. The first, no charity shall ever decrease the wealth. Someone gives a charity, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, Wallahi, you'll never decrease your wealth. That's one. Another thing he said is, whenever one forgives people, then Allah will magnify his honor. That's another. And the third, which is what I want to highlight on, he said, and he who humbles himself to before Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise his rank. He who humbles himself to Allah. And the most humble position to Allah Azza wa Jal is the position of sujood. And what is opposite to humbleness? Arrogance. And what is arrogance? Arrogance is when you have your head high up in the sky. That's arrogance. You don't look at anyone. If you do see someone, you turn your face from him. You have your head stuck up high in the air. That is arrogance. And opposite to arrogance is humbleness. So if arrogance was having your head up in the sky, and humbleness is opposite to arrogance, so humbleness would mean that the uppermost of your body will go down to the most lowest. And this would be the humbleness before Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a promise from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Allah raises and lifts the ranks of people that humble themselves before Allah Azza wa Jal. And of course we know this in the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in where a companion came to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be your friend in the paradise. So how is this going to happen? For his companion, he's worried. Like, well, how? This is the messenger, he's now with us. Later on, we get to the paradise. Allahu a'lam where he is. He's somewhere and I'm somewhere. And this companion doesn't want to lose this relationship. It's just, yani, think of how they used to think, subhanAllah. This is their wish. You know, compare it to what you wish today or what people around you wish. This companion's wish is, how am I going to guarantee myself that I'll be your companion in the paradise? So then the Prophet ﷺ, he says to him, أَعِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. He says, look, I'll guarantee it for you, but help me that you have to do one thing, and that is do a lot of sujood, perform a lot of sujood. Why? Because the more sujood you perform, the more that means the more humble you are towards Allah. And when you're humble to Allah, what does Allah promise? That your rank goes up. And the rank keeps going up until يعني, you're in company of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this is Subhana Rabbi al-A'la that we say in our sujood. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, going back to the ayah, he says, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. And you find in the ayah that Allah, he said, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Rabb is a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to the other 98 names he could have used. Allah could have said, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ اللَّهِ الْأَعْلَى, or سَبِّحِ اسْمَ الْخَالِقِ الْأَعْلَى. That could have been possible. But from the 99 names of Allah, he chose Rabb. So what does this teach us? You know why? Because at the heart of the relationship Allah Azza wa Jal has with us is the term Rabb. This is the heart of our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. He is Rabb, and opposite to Rabb is Abd. You're the Abd. And that is the heart of the relationship with Allah. That you acknowledge He is the master and you are the slave. And Rabb, it means, it is a word that includes, and it means that the one that has complete authority over you, and the one who gives you gifts, and the one who owns you, and the one who has mastery over you. These are all meanings involved with this word, Rabb. And so when you think of Rabb, Rabb is translated best as master. When you think of master, then automatically the opposite comes into mind, and the opposite of master is a slave. So when you acknowledge He's the master, what you're actually saying is that you're the abd. This is the relationship. And by the way, you need to understand that every single name of Allah Azza wa Jal, we have a relationship with. Every name of Allah, some way or another, we have a relationship with it. So I'll give you an example. When you say Allah is Ar-Rabb, that means He is the master. What is your relationship with this name? That you're the abd. When you say Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Hakim, what is your relationship with this name? You're acknowledging that He is the All-Wise. And by you saying this, you're saying you're not All-Wise. When you say He is Al-Khaliq, what is your relationship with the name Al-Khaliq? That you're saying you're the one that's created, you're the makhluk. And every name is like this. You say from the names of Allah, Ar-Rahman. When you say Allah is Ar-Rahman, and you believe in this name, then what you're actually saying is, I'm in need of this rahmah. When you say al-ghaffar, I'm in need of this maghfirah. This is the relationship we have with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this attitude of Allah being my Rabb, if it is absent in your life, if it is not there, then you will find people that will not acknowledge Allah Azza wa Jal's perfection. When people come out and say, why is Allah doing this with me? How come Allah did this to me? How come Allah took this from me? You know, what is the wisdom behind why Allah did this? When people can start talking like this, then you know what? The heart of the matter is that they have not accepted one thing about Allah, and that is He is Rabb and I am Abd. When you start questioning Allah, it means you have an issue with the word Rabb. That's what it means. Every time you say His name Rabb, you remember He is master and you're a slave. And how does a slave speak to his master? No. When a slave mentions the name of his master, there's humility, there's humbleness, there's an acknowledgement of higher power. This is even now. If a slave was to speak to his master, then all of these come about. There is this acknowledgement of there's a higher power above me. And there's also fear included as well. You know, a slave is someone that always fears his master. فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ يعني, these are attitude, this attitude of acknowledging Allah is a Rabb has to sink into your heart when you make the tasbih of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is why Allah says, Subhana sabbih isma rabbika. Because if you don't acknowledge Rabb, this name, if you do not acknowledge He's your master, then the tasbih is going to come out flawed. It's not going to come out correct. It won't come out true. Unless the name Rabb, this concept of Allah being master, and you are a slave, you have no question in this whatsoever. Unless this concept sinks in your heart, now you're able to make tasbih of Allah, and you're able to make perfect and complete tasbih of Allah. For subhanAllah, how Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned this specific name of His, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Then he says, and I will conclude with this, finishing the ayah, he said, Al-A'la. So he didn't just say, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ and stop, although that could have made so much sense as well, he added to it, Al-A'la. It's beautiful how Al-A'la comes in this surah. In the previous surah, Surah At-Tariq, Allah Azza wa Jal called our attention to something that's very high in the sky. وَالسَّمَاءِ, that's something high. وَالطَّارِقِ, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقِ, النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ. What was At-Tariq? It was this piercing bright star. Where is the star? Something that's in the high position. By the way, Al-A'la means the most high. Now let's see how this works together يعني, in the surah. We are impressed by this At-Tariq. And subhanAllah, wallahi, I tell you, you will not appreciate what stars mean until you go out to the desert and see it. And in last week, I only had يعني, a glimpse of this. When I was in Perth last week, and there was a camp, and we went out to the camp, it was about 2 hours from Perth. Really, really dark. Like, this is an area where there is no lighting whatsoever. It is purely dark. You turn off the torch, you cannot see what's in front of you. And to be honest, wallahi, you cannot see nothing. And the sky was clear. And wallahi, we sat there, we had this fire, we turned it off, and we looked up. And I've been to Saudi and I've seen something, but not anything like what I've seen in Perth. I looked up, and we've seen stars, and we've seen really bright stars, and these really, really bright stars are what's referred to as al-Najm al-Thaqib, right? The really bright, brilliant star that you can see. Oh, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ. Al-Khunnas are the really bright stars. These are stars that you can see right now. You walk outside, everyone will see it. But there are stars that are much smaller, and they're not as bright, and they're in the billions. In the billions. You look up, wallahi, subhanAllah, the whole sky is full of stars. And then above this, you see the other stars that usually we all see now, that you go outside and you see these twinkling bright stars. SubhanAllah, something really amazing. You need to go out and keep going, driving outside of the city until you see no more lighting around you. Then and only look up and you see the stars. And SubhanAllah, Allah had blessed us. We saw as well a shooting star at that time. And we had the opportunity to give a talk about what the يعني, shooting star is and how it follows the shaitan and so on. So alhamdulillah, it was a very, very awesome experience. It is something that you surely must do. It is something that carries ajr and carries reward because it is يعني, trying to understand Allah Azza wa Jalla's word and contemplating on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Literally millions and billions all stuck together. So in Surah Al-Tariq, we read Al-Najm Al-Thaqib. And we said that we are impressed by the Tariq and by these stars that are above us. This beautiful, magnificent creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla that's high above in the sky. But Allah says in this surah, there is someone even higher. سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ Al-A'la. Al-A'la means the most high. Al, this Al at the beginning, it translates to the most high. And when you say the most high, that means you're saying there's nothing higher. Right? فسبحانallah. The previous surah spoke to you about something that's high, that's something really impressive, but then Allah is saying there's someone even higher, and He is al-A'la. You know, subhanallah, it's amazing how this name of Allah Azza wa Jal comes to conclude this ayah. So who is above all these things that you find impressive is Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-A'la comes from the word ala ya'lu uluwan. A'la, ulu means height. You know, loftiness, something that's grander. And there's another interesting connection here. We'll conclude with this one inshallah. That in the previous surah, Allah concluded it by saying, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. Right? Allah Azza wa Jal said and He informed that the kuffar are planning a plan. They're planning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are planning a plan. They were actively engaged in making a plan to destroy the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was their plan. And we discussed their plan was to kill the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which in reality is actually a plan to destroy Allah's mission. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mission is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. So ultimately it's Allah's mission. So when the kuffar are planning against the Prophet and against Islam, then they're actually planning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are trying to undermine the intent and the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal and this revelation that He has revealed. But Allah is beyond and above all their plans. He is Al-A'la. So His name Al-A'la comes again. سَبِّحْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. So as much as you people plan, there's always a plan coming from Al-A'la, which is even greater and higher than your plan. It is coming from the Most High. And one more is that in the previous surah, there was an allegation made against the Qur'an. The kuffar said that this Qur'an is a casual talk. They said, قَوْلٌ hazl, and we said, hazl is weak. In other words, they said that this is a weak speech. It has no benefit to it. It's just casual talk. And Allah Azza wa Jal responded. He said, وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. No, it isn't. It's not a casual speak. It's a speech that you benefit from. Now, to say that the Qur'an is casual talk, to say that the Qur'an has no benefit, then you are not talking about the speech. Who are you insulting and talking about? About the speaker, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you say the Qur'an is of no use, then you have actually reduced the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now this surah begins as a refutation, سَبِّحْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. You understand? This is very important to understand these things, how Allah Azza wa Jal responds to the kuffar. They accused and they made this allegation, the Qur'an is of no use. And when you say the Qur'an is of no use, and this is kalamullah, and that the kalamullah, the wording of Allah Azza wa Jal, is actually an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you say that His word has no use, then you said that His word is imperfect. If someone's word is of no use, then it's imperfect. So Allah responded and He said, سَبِّحْ. And سَبِّحْ, we said, declare what? The perfection. So these people said it's imperfect. Imperfect, wa kalam Allah, the words of Allah is an attribute of Allah, which deserves completeness and perfection. So now that's why He responded, سَبِّحْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Declare the perfection of your Lord. How do you declare it? By disassociating any imperfection or any defects from Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he ends up by saying, Al-A'la, the Most High. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us a clear understanding of this surah. And He make us people of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ. Is there any questions before we conclude? طيب وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.